This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Next guest is on the line and we have Amy LaPalma, who is the lead female singer in Tommy, the Who's rock opera, which is coming to the Palais.
Absolutely. Victoria Opera, which is so exciting. Now, I've got to tell you, you know, because I'm old, I grew up loving the album, the Who's the album of Tommy, and it was released probably 15 years or more before the film was ever released.
Yeah.
And it was just this concept album. It was around the same time as Jesus Christ Superstar, and then they did Quadrophenia after that, which was about all the scooter gangs
the mods.
So I know this this album backwards. So if Amy doesn't do a good job, I'll be knocking on the stage door saying, not good enough, not good enough.
You'll be personally offended. Okay, well, Amy, with that little ultimatum in mind, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. I don't know where to start with that or with my Ronan Keating story. But,
well, tell us, Ronan Keating,
let's start with that one.
Well, funnily enough, a few years ago, I was doing Once the Musical,
yep.
which is a musical based on the Irish film.
That's right.
Beautiful.
And we were rehearsing it in Melbourne to open at the Princess Theatre. This was at the end of 2014. And Ronan Keating was in Australia at the time. I think he was a host of Australia's Got Talent.
Yeah,
shows. And but he was going into the lead role on the West End, so he actually rehearsed with us.
So
we had Ronan in the room a couple of times a week, and because he is a genuine Dubliner, he was very kind. And for all of the cast that was sort of learning how to do their best Dublin bros,
yeah.
He was sort of offering to do, you know, voice memo recordings of himself reading the lines so that everyone had like an authentic.
Gosh.
You know, Irish Ronan on their phone.
Wow, fantastic.
He's very, very lovely. Generous.
Yeah.
And his voice, you know, he's got such a distinct
voice. You can pick his voice straight away, can't you? Yeah.
And it's huge. It's so booming.
Oh,
it's a
right.
really, really big sound. Okay. So I never got to see him do that role, but we did get to see him rehearse. So there you go. There's my Ronan.
Right.
But other than that, I'm definitely not Irish.
But but then, Amy, there's a link again. I just mentioned about Jesus Christ Superstar and Andrew Lloyd Webber. You were in School of Rock.
I was in School of Rock, and that was the sort of show I was doing just before, you know, pre-COVID. I guess we've got a nice big line in the sand there, don't we?
Yeah, well, you would have gone to China and everything, and New Zealand.
Yes.
And the other side of it is that a fellow a Joy person, as in John O'Hara.
He used to host, our co-host one stage.
He was in, and he's also in Tommy.
John was actually a part of our team on Sunday Arts Magazine at one stage.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
He's a good egg, that one.
Yeah. And so tell us, you know, like, obviously you've had a very successful career in musical theatre. You know, like, brag a little bit more.
Okay. I suppose it started for me, musically, I started as playing the violin and kind of entertaining myself with singing and, you know, that kind of thing at home, but I didn't take singing particularly seriously aside from in school choirs and school musicals and things like that. But I was sort of a more serious violinist as a child and a teenager. And then as I kind of got to my upper teens, I learned about, this magical place called Whopper where you could go and they turn you into this, you know, triple threat. And I got really excited at the idea of maybe getting in there. But I didn't get in there twice, so I sort of had to make it up as I went along, and I thought for a little while that I might, you know, go down the path of having a normal job, but little things kind of kept happening along the way, which, you know, bits of luck and opportunity. And I managed to finish, I finished an arts degree at Melbourne Uni and kind of went straight into professional musicals from there. So, I've been quite fortunate, I think.
you have been. But unfortunately, though, for the last year and a half, again, it would have affected you enormously.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's been a very strange time. I was in a, you know, another twist of luck or fate or whatever you want to call it. While on tour with School of Rock in Brisbane, I decided to get myself on a dating app, and I met a wonderful guy who I'm now engaged to.
Oh, so congratulations.
Thank you. And so I've been living in Brisbane from, you know, since kind of March last year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, School of Rock, it was announced that we wouldn't be able to do our Adelaide season, and every theatre in the country was closing. So I had to sort of make a quick decision. And so I was in Brisbane, and the lovely, you know, aside from being able to live with my partner for a solid year, which is sort of unheard of in you know, performing times generally when we're on tour and the rest of it. So that was quite a nice little break in one way. But also Brisbane has been relatively, you know, compared to Melbourne particularly, unaffected by COVID until maybe this weekend. And so I actually did have a few more opportunities to perform up there than I may have down here. So, yeah, I did a play with Queensland Theatre earlier this year and just got to do a couple little gigs and things. And also just I loved having dinner again, you know, having a couple of dinners. Yeah. That was a bit of a novelty. When you're doing eight shows a week, you're kind of eating at 5 o'clock and having a snack before bed. And, you know, you don't complain because it's a wonderful joy to do that kind of work. But I did get quite excited about every
funny.
Night.
That's funny. You never think of things like that. Now tell us, did you know Tommy at all before this?
I only knew Pinball Wizard. I mean, I am a bit of a, you know, 70s music fan. I mean, although, you know, Tommy's my 69, but I definitely 60s and 70s music is something that I do love. But I hadn't really got into the Who beyond, you know, the big, you know, talking about your generation, my generation, and those kinds of songs. And I knew Pinball Wizard, and I sort of remember hearing the concept and thinking, oh, that's a bit weird, like people watching a kid play pinball, that seems odd.
Yeah.
Not even thinking, like, even now in the present day, you know, the things on YouTube that get millions of hits are people watching people play games. Like, we've always had this fascination, you know, with people that have that kind of otherworldly skill and access to that, but it even
takes it one step forward. He's not just playing pinball, he's deaf, dumb and blind, you know, like, which makes it very interesting as well.
It does make it very interesting. And it's, I've sort of, I guess, been thrown into the world of it. And it's been a really wonderful way to learn the show. I mean, the context of the concept album is a great place to start, because it's just sort of, you know, crazy idea of artists in there still quite young. I think Pete Townsend was still in his mid-20s when he wrote it.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to do something different and trying to change the game with their pop writing and out of that has kind of, so much has kind of come from it, because I think it's bigger than they ever expected, for one.
Yeah.
The kind of grand narrative of it has still, you know, it's sort of still a bit up for grabs. The film goes one way with it, and then the musical that we're doing is actually based on the production that went to Broadway in the early 90s. So it's not, it sort of is diverges from the film a little bit as well in terms of the narrative.
Okay.
And fills a few gaps and fleshes out characters a little bit more. So,
right, okay.
So it's sort of been this kind of organism, I guess, that's taken on different, slightly different meaning and filled out a world, I think, a little bit more than it first did in 69. But with Pete Townsend's you know, approval. It's kind of where he decided to take it.
And, yeah. Well, because I was going to say that. So he's been involved in the journey the whole way, like Andrew Lloyd Webber is as with Stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. He has, and he's sort of, you know, with interviews, if you read interviews with him when at the time of the album's release versus, you know, in the 90s and even in the 2000s when he'd been sort of promoting the musical of it, his ideas of what the show's about and how he came to write it have also changed with time and you know, a bit of age and wisdom, I think. So the show, I think, it, you know, it's interesting when you tackle a piece like this that has really different cultural resonances for people. You know, we're coming to it as a mostly a cast that is sort of
musical theatre, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, music theatre people for a start, and then possibly not the music taste or the age to have seen and been in the hype of Tommy as it would have been in the late 60s and early 70s. Yeah.
And
so we kind of...
Yeah, go on.
Oh, sorry. So we kind of address it as it is on the page, you know. And we take it for what it is, and we're trying to make it into a good piece of theatre.
Right.
But it is pretty exciting also when you have that element of it being such an important piece of rock and roll history for people.
Yeah.
That element is very, very exciting.
And a Victoria Opera doing it, which is interesting. My initial thought was, with Victoria Opera doing it, did you ever get involved with the production company? Did you ever do it? You know, like, this is the sort of show that the production company would have done at some stage. You know, they did all the great musicals, but then, well, they did Jesus Christ Superstar a couple of years ago with Rob Mills playing Jesus. But, you know, like, I'm finding it interesting how, you know, a Victorian opera is diverting and doing, you know, like, I suppose it is bums on seats and, you know, like, and why not be different?
Well, I confess I sort of wondered that myself too before I got to know the piece. And then actually in rehearsing it, it makes much more sense to me in an operatic form, because it is this, there's these grand themes in it. They're very big musically. It had such a big cultural impact. I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber was absolutely influenced by Tommy. There's absolutely no doubt that you can hear so many of his themes that came through in Superstar and later that came from that music of that time.
Okay.
So and yeah, just the guitar riffs and the kind of the motifs that they use, it's definitely had a big impact on, you know, rock musicals as we know it and understand them to be. So I really do see what Vic Opera is sort of, you know, why they chose it in a way, because it's a sort of foundational piece, but actually it's also exciting when a piece hasn't been performed here. So, you know, this is the first iteration of this production that's been done in Australia.
Yeah.
So it's exciting for a company to sort of say, all right, well, let's broaden the scope of what opera is. It is sung through. It is musically important. And it's a premiere for the country. So, you know, let's do something like that.
Fantastic. Really and you know, like, and giving work for all those musical theatre people that are in it, because it's the who's who. Everyone's there, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a great piece, and because it's got such, you know, musically very dynamic, very percussive. It lends itself to fabulous choreography as well. So, you know, you're getting great singer dancers that are getting an opportunity to really make some fantastic shapes, and that idea of expression as well is going to be really well used in this production.
Brilliant. And where's it playing? Because it's no little tin shed, is it?
Oh, it's at the Palais.
Hello.
Which is fantastic. And look, really fortunate in a way, because we're still, you know, unsure about capacity requirements and things going forward. But the Palais being such a big venue means that, you know, we should be able to have a sizable audience even at reduced capacity, which is fantastic and a bit of a stroke of luck, I think.
Yeah.
It'll still feel good.
And it's on from the 13th to the 21st of August. You can get your tickets now. So do it, because it's piece of history, and as you said, Amy, first time performed in Australia as the musical. Thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll see you on stage, and I'll be at that stage door if you're not as good as I expect you. Of course you're going to be brilliant. Of course you're going to be brilliant.
I'm going to give it my all, I tell you.
All right. Yeah. Thanks so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. We've been talking to Amy LaPalma here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.